Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, material living, spiritual living, part two. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust helps to sponsor this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy. And those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. A new chapter in the great book of spiritual living is about to be written. A new expansion of consciousness is an imminent happening. Today, tendencies towards materialism and personality achievement must be offset by a counter move towards spiritual living. When we ended last time, you were saying something about rebuilding the shrine of man's living as a way to blend spiritual and material living. Could you say more about that?
Yes, that's an expression from the writings of Alice Bailey, that the present cycle is one for rebuilding the shrine of man's living. She's referring to the outer realms. Particularly, her books were published just before, during, and soon after the World War in the 1940s. But I think it still applies today. The rebuilding of the Shrine of Man's Living refers to the problems that we experience on the material plane with the lack of proper distribution of money. And spiritually, we know that money is an energy which can be used for good or evil. It can be a tremendous force for good. I still remember an editorial that Roger Rosenblatt, the columnist and writer, gave once on probably on the McNeil-Lehrer NewsHour. And he talked at that time about how money could be an agent for good. And he's absolutely right. It can also be an expression of real evil when it's cornered in the hands of a few and withheld from the neediest, and that's the situation we've reached in the world. Alice Bailey has an interesting slant on this situation that we've reached. She attributes it to the past 2,000-year cycle of the energy of the sixth ray. We've talked about the seven rays on past programs, the sixth ray being the ray of devotion and idealism, which is an attribute of divinity. But the problem has been that the human being has understood this devotion and idealism as a kind of an abstraction, a force that has redirected attention away from the physical plane as a place of spiritual life and allowed it to become just totally materialistic in essence. And spirituality has been transferred to a kind of an abstract up there somewhere realm. And this has allowed this terrible cleavage to develop between the way we live our spiritual lives, the way we express our spiritual aspiration, and the way we handle our material lives.
Right, and that same sixth ray has done wonders for the human race over the last 2,000 years of the influence of the sixth ray of idealism. It has produced in humankind the ability to think and to bring the mind principle into play, where it can begin to think more abstractly and also begin to take control more of the outer life of the human being. And so it's a very potent ray, and one of the divine attributes of this ray is also the influence is that of taste. It is said that taste in food, in human relationships, taste in form and in art and in architecture, and all branches of human knowledge, we have developed this ability of taste, and that's what's one of the attributes of this sixth ray.
The coming cycle, the new age, as it's called, the age of Aquarius, is bringing in a new energy pattern, a new ray pattern, identified as the seventh ray, and I think that's where the resolution of this cleavage between spirit and matter, between the religious and the form realms, is going to come. The seventh ray is the ray that fosters the fusion of spirit and matter, and it is steadily becoming more powerful according to the ageless wisdom. It's the energy that will demonstrate that spirit and matter aren't antagonistic to each other, as too often we probably think, but really are mutually sustaining and reinforcing. The great initiate Blavatsky said that spirit is matter on its highest level. I always get this wrong. And matter is spirit on its lowest level. And they are one. They are a unity, in fact. If we could begin to see that, we might handle the material substance available to us, including our money, our possessions, our stuff in a different way.
Yes, whether one is expressing a material expression or a spiritual expression depends a lot on control. This matter of control of do you have control over the material world, the material desire life? And if not, then you are controlled by it, because even material substance has a certain power that an allure that it gives off that is very enticing to the desire nature of every human being. So that's why people are attracted to material things, and it's the power that is the big culprit here, because Once one becomes under the influence of the soul and the higher spiritual values, then that power of the material realm becomes less and less, and the values of the soul, which are essentially that of love and goodwill and right human relations, that becomes the dominant power. And so it's a matter of shifting the power focus, and that will determine whether one is living more of a expressing a spiritual living or a material living.
Every time I hear thoughts expressed along that line, it makes me think of Imelda Marcos and her thousands of pairs of shoes.
I remember that.
I so identify with her.
Yeah. Well.
I don't have thousands of pairs of shoes, but I would be tempted if I had the means. No, it's true. We are possessed by our possessions, and they have a vibratory rate. They have a field of radiation that can possess us if we aren't observant of it. And people often laughingly joke about when they're depressed or upset about something, practicing retail therapy, they go out and shop to relieve their distress or whatever.
Yeah.
But it only works for a little while, and then they have to shop some more. So,
well, that's the thing. It's never satiated. The desire nature is never satisfied. It always wants more, and that's what keeps it alive.
That's the whole essence of the Buddhist message, that we must stop clinging to the material realm. And when you study the story, the mythology, as it is, the legend of his enlightenment, it's very interesting. He sat under the Bodhi tree in ancient India for something like 40 days, determined to achieve enlightenment. And when he finally did, the earth roared, the heavens thundered, and the evil spirit Mara, known as the tempter, the lord of death, whose name means delusion of the materialistic worldview, thought he had lost the battle. And in fact he had, because on his enlightenment, the Buddha touched the right fingertip of his right hand to the earth, who responded, "I bear you witness." And it's very interesting to ponder on the symbolism of that. At the moment of his enlightenment, he touched the earth with his right fingertip, as if to ground the tremendous spiritual energy that was pouring through him at that moment. He didn't use that opportunity to leave the world, to escape it, but he grounded all his realization, condensed in that moment of enlightenment, in the earth, where experience of the spiritual realm is most needed. And he spent the rest of his life, which was a very long period, traveling about and teaching people to stop clinging to earthly possessions and earthly life.
Yes, it's an interesting phase that I think humanity is going through right now, because we're in not only in this transition age between the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius, and we're right in the middle of this transition, which makes it very difficult because we're being pulled in two directions here, between the material and the spiritual. But also, humanity is at that point where it is beginning to express something entirely new in the world that the world has never seen, because going back millions of years, we have been focused in the material world, and we have a long, long history and development of material things and the material focus. And now we are at a stage where we have to begin to break away from that and begin to develop the more intangible values of the soul, and which will eventually lead us to express the fifth kingdom in nature, the kingdom of soul. And so we are at a stage where we haven't been for millions of years, and it's a very painful stage because we have to finally break away from the old patterns of the past. It's like we're slowly breaking out of our old skin and developing a new skin. And so it's a very uncertain time that we're going through.
I think it's a stage in consciousness, like you say, because we are aware of the pull of these apparent pairs of opposites, spirit and matter, and we're aware that there's a kind of a cleavage in the way we approach them. And we even sometimes express these two opposites as good and evil. Matter is not necessarily evil, only when it's used for selfish purposes and without any sense of the inherent vitality that dwells within even a clump of clay. And this is what's led us to so misuse the resources of the earth, to so fail to provide for the right distribution of money for the alleviation of poverty. We've misused the material realm to our shame, but we're also increasingly aware of it. And like you say, that's the soul, the consciousness, which is in fact the way these two opposites are redeemed, through the soul, which is the quality aspect between spirit and matter. Matter used with appropriate understanding expresses its finest quality.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, Material Living, Spiritual Living, Part 2. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey. And just a little blurb about the about this particular book upon which today's show is based. The soul, the higher self or individuality, is the guiding force within every human being. Through the law of rebirth or reincarnation, the soul returns to manifestation, life after life, for purposes of service to the plan. It's available. The Soul, The Quality of Life is available for $16. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. What you need to do to take advantage of the offer is send a check or money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's check or money order, $16 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Just write a little note saying that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. If you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason whatsoever, most people call because they like a general package of information about Lucis Trust. Give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. And also, we really appreciate your support. That's your donations. Well, that's what helps us to stay on the air. Being on radio is very expensive. This is a very good station, and it covers a lot of territory, but it does cost a lot. And we enjoy being on this station and doing doing these shows for you, but we need your support probably at this point. We're in dire need of your support at this point. So if you like these shows and you want them to continue, please send your donations. They are tax deductible, by the way. Send donations to Lucis Trust, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's donations. Send them to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Probably the ideal for us is having a having the show underwritten, where we would mention the company's name that underwrites the show, and we would be forever indebted to you. It would take a lot of the labor that's not really related to the core of this show away from us, and we'd be free to focus on the shows every week and giving you the spiritual messages that we've been giving you. Having said that, let's return to our show. We're talking with Sarah and Dale about material living, spiritual living, part two. Let's get back to that. What else were you going to say, Sarah, about this particular topic?
Well, one point that I think is interesting to bring up is the steps being taken by a lot of people today to bring about a reconciliation between spirit and matter, because it happens in the lives of individuals one by one. Each of us has to cooperate in this if we're going to turn the planet around, so to speak. It can't be legislated or handled by the United Nations only. It happens through a change in consciousness, individual by individual. And that means that each of us can think about the way we handle the assets available to us, the material resources we have. Contribute our money, even if we don't have very much at all. Share 10% of it, which is tithing. with charities, organizations, groups that are doing work you think needs support and which should continue. It can only do so probably with your support. I know the work that we do at the Lucis Trust is funded entirely by voluntary donations, except for the books that we sell, and the publishing company itself is non-profit. We offer all of our services, all of our pamphlets, our meetings, everything is available at no charge. But believe me, there is a cost, a material cost to do work on the physical plane. And I'm sure that's true of all spiritual and charitable groups. They need money. So supporting them, even if you can't give a lot, give something, means a great deal. And we even have a meditation that people can cooperate in on the redirection of money for hierarchical purposes, in other words, for the fulfillment of the divine plan. That depends in large part on the redirection of money, so that money can become available for the raising of human consciousness, for the educating of human minds.
Yeah, the divine plan is what we have to keep in mind here, because that's the big picture that's working out through materialism. So it's not that we have to do without materialism or to push it away, because it's what we are made of. So we have to learn how to use it in a more productive way, in a more selfless way, and distribute the energies of the material world more evenly among the needs of the world. And because ultimately what is working out here is this divine plan of God, and it requires that the human soul begin to manifest itself and its qualities through the material plane, through material living, through human beings themselves, and to allow that great glory of God to come through. And that's why we emphasize the soul so much in these programs, because the soul is the key factor and is the builder, actually, of the new world, the new shrine of man's living. It's the building of the qualities of the soul that becomes the foundation for the new world.
There's an interesting point about the Buddhist message, coming back to the Buddha one more time. As I said, he attained his enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, and the Buddha is often depicted in statues and icons as seated cross-legged in the lotus position, perfectly still, eyes downcast, the embodiment of tranquil, calm meditation. And that posture, the lotus position, is one which, if you can master it, leaves the body completely still, comfortable but completely still and motionless. And that alignment is what fostered his ability to achieve enlightenment, because all of the energies were able to pour in an absolutely unimpeded line, direct from the source he contacted. This is the real end result of correct meditation, and it leaves one awestruck to even contemplate striving toward that. But the point is that there is a lack of alignment in the way we live on the material plane. The Buddha escaped from the clinging and possessiveness of the material plane through his perfection of alignment, and we are imprisoned by it due to our lack of balance. In fact, he taught that all suffering is caused by being out of balance. It's often translated, the Sanskrit word dukkha, as suffering, but it means literally to be out of balance when spirit and matter are not in proper relation. And that reminds me of that motion picture a few years ago with the Navajo Indian named Koyaanisqatsi. Did you ever see that motion picture? It was about the world being out of balance.
Yeah.
So there is a principle in there that's important to consider. We have just observed the festival of Easter and the communion feast of Christ and his disciples. That itself demonstrates right sharing, the sharing of bread and wine. That's symbolic of what we have to achieve in the handling of material substance, beginning with economic issues and then passing on to still higher levels of sharing. That will be the great gift of the Aquarian Age.
Yes, and that's the real message of the Easter message is the sharing, because that's what Christ was he went into the upper room and where they had what they called the Last Supper,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the that whole scenario, that whole scene there symbolized the coming of the Aquarian Age, 2,000 years hence from that particular time. So he was setting the stage way back then for today, for the work that we have to do today in the world.
Alice Bailey said, we are going to achieve that goal. She said, selfishness and greed have brought the world to its present desperate state, but selfless sharing and cooperation between all people of goodwill can rebuild the world and bring more beauty into life and restore that which humanity itself has destroyed. The best is yet to be, she said. We can rest back on that realization that the history of the human race has been one of a steady moving forward down the ages and towards the light. So we mustn't become depressed or despair of our ability to turn around this imbalance. We simply have to remember it begins with each one of us.
Please take advantage of a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey. It's available for $16, and the discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So what you need to do, if you'd like to take advantage of this offer, is to send a check or money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, we have a new show. It's a midnight show, midnight Sunday morning to 12:30 a.m. So please tune in, and you can hear Lucis Trust, the Inner Sight shows, one more time during the week. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you.